If you are trying to land a next level role and one of the things you've been struggling with is thinking about how to articulate or even identify your transferable skills, or maybe even go from one industry to another, you are going to love this conversation. In this episode, I talked to one of my next level career clients, Courtney. Next Level Career is my one-on-one coaching program, and Courtney shares her experience transitioning from an executive role in nonprofit to a senior learning consultant role in the corporate sector. She talks all about how she was struggling with workplace harm and discrimination, how coaching really helped her in the process because she hadn't job searched in years. So from crafting an effective resume to acing complex interview processes and questions and negotiating a significant salary increase, Courtney shares all about her experience in Next Level Career. Through coaching, Courtney was able to just find alignment between her professional skills and her faith, and ultimately landed a job that she now loves, a job where she has impact and influence. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for professional women ready to leave miserable jobs, stop being overlooked, and land higher paying roles they're excited about without compromising who they are. I'm Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who went from feeling unfulfilled and stuck at work to thriving in a career I've loved for over 10 years. Along the way, the professional awards, $3 million federal grant, and textbook I wrote are some evidence of the impact I've been able to have, all while building a coaching business to help women like you find fulfillment and have impact in their careers. Inside my programs, Find Your Fulfilling Career and Next Level Career, I guide women to clarify their path, land dream jobs, and negotiate salary increases with faith and confidence. Whether you're ready to leave a soul-sucking job or advance into your next level role, you're in the right place. Together, we'll uncover what's holding you back and help you step confidently into the career and life God has for you. Let's dive in. Hi, Courtney. How are you?
I'm good, Tega. How are you?
I mean, we were already talking, but it's good to see you again.
Yes.
So let's just jump right in. So you work with me in one-on-one coaching mid last year. You know what I was thinking about today when I was in the shower? I know, random. But I was like, literally, I think last week was exactly a week when we had your application call.
What?
A year ago. Yep. Because I was also on spring break then. I was in Florida for my niece and nephew's birthday. Remember, I came up from the pool to have a call with you? It was literally.
I do remember
a year ago. Yep. It was around this time last year that we had this application call.
And do you remember you asked me this question? I don't even remember how it came to be, actually. Mm-hmm. But somehow we got on. I think I knew right away that I wanted to work with you. And you were like, oh, how? Like, we just met. And I said, because you took the call. You could have like canceled it. You could have, but that meant so much, your commitment to show up even in that space while you were being with friends and family.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she is legit. So
yes. So anyway, that being said, let's talk about life before that call, or around that call, before you decided to work with me. What was happening for you in your life and career that led you to want to work with a coach?
Yes. So when I was initially doing my search, I was an executive at a company. I was on a four-person leadership executive team in a nonprofit. And I was at a point where I was setting goals for the next year. And one of my goals was I wanted to have intentional executive coaching. Mm. And so I started off on this search to just be able to find partnership and also just some expertise in helping me to get from where I was to a new level of leadership, confidence, competence. Mm-hmm. And then the world was just turned upside down. Mm-hmm. So without having to go into the long story, because we would be here for 2 hours on your podcast, succinctly say, unfortunately, a lot of turmoil and kind of upheaval happened within our organization. And I experienced some workplace harm, some discrimination, and it kind of sent me into a tailspin. So I had to take time for mental health medical leave just to kind of reset. And during that time is when I think we started to really dig into the work. And so it was almost like at the edge of where I was and what was next, and not even knowing what that could be, because I was in such a fragile I think mental and emotional state, but still had the presence of mind to know I need support. Probably now more than ever, speaking about then, to be able to navigate what could next look like career-wise, because I don't think I would have been able, even with my therapist who was amazing, I don't think I would have been able to, from a career perspective, by myself, been able to navigate everything from a resume, thinking about interviews, thinking about networking. So that's how I came to be in a coaching relationship with you, and it could not have come at a better time.
Yeah. And I'm hearing you say that, and it's so interesting because it's like, here you were initially just forward thinking of, I want to develop as a leader. Let me look into a coach. And in that process, you ended up being in a position where it's like, now I need a new job. That was not initially the plan, but now I need a new job. First of all, because God be working, right? Yes. Like, we always talk about that. Like, God be knowing things. But 100%. Also, what was that like for you to all of a sudden be in a position of, I need a new job? And you're an executive, right? You're executive, you're making good money. Yes. And it's like, now I need to job search. And I think you had told me that you had never really job searched before. It had mostly been like referrals, word of mouth. So what's that experience like for you to be in that position?
My goodness, it was a blessing in the past to have been able to experience the, hey, we think you'd be great at this. We heard your name. We want you to take this job. Mm-hmm. It was like almost on a silver platter, which seems and sounds very privileged. I would say favor, but I understand as well. And so not really having to navigate that since probably college, like having to actively look and submit a resume and kind of do so in a cold way. I always had the relationship, or I always had people come to me. So I was dusty rusty and did not know what that would look like at all. And my sister, she works in HR at a larger organization in the city. So she could help me a bit, but you know, she also had a full-time job. So she wasn't probably able to dedicate the time that being with a coach would be able to help me with that same amount of time. And so it completely shifted things for me because I didn't even know where to start, honestly.
I think that's so powerful, like not even knowing where to start because you hadn't done it in so long.
Yes. It felt like fresh territory, which sounds probably like, well, you are in your 40s, but if you haven't had to do that in a while, it's like those muscles hadn't been used. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, it's like, okay, I'm submitting my bootleg looking resume that I thought was
not bootleg.
Girl, like, ooh, look at these colors, which was so great having that session with you. You were like, girl, no. I was like, this is not it. You're like, no. Okay. So little things like that. I was like, oh my gosh, you need an expert to be able to tell you those things. So it was so helpful.
Wow, that's so great to hear. And, you know, I'm thinking of, it is just that it is a muscle. And I think, especially when I think of women like you who, again, you were an executive, you know that you know your stuff, you have, you know, an EdD, like you have an advanced degree. I think sometimes when you have been so high achieving and competent, when you're then trying to do something for yourself that you don't know how to do, it can sometimes feel like, wait, I thought I was smart. What's happening
here? Yes.
Did you struggle with that?
Girl, yeah, that resume. I was like, ow. That is a whole thing I thought I had down. Everything from that to like simple things. Mm-hmm. To your point, when you get to a certain level, your brain is sometimes up here and the simple things are not as like muscle memory. Mm-hmm. So networking, I was like, oh gosh, like how do I even do that? How do I walk into a space where I don't know anybody? Mm-hmm. And then just network without it seeming like cold or like, you know, just schmoozing. What's the art? Yeah. That's what I feel like you helped me with, is take some simple practices, foundational concepts, and learn the art to them. And I think that is what I would not have gotten on my own. I could have looked at LinkedIn or could have read some articles, and I did, but this made me understand the art of those simple things.
I've never heard it put that way before, the art. I'm gonna steal that. Oh, I think I'm gonna be an artist. A job search artist. I love it.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Tell us the journey of finding me, right? So you initially, it was more just, I want executive coaching. Yes. How did you do your research? How did you find me? What was that process like?
Yeah, I'll be very honest. So my doctoral research focused on understanding the experiences of Black women in predominantly white workplace spaces and the harm that their bodies held, mm-hmm. from everything physiologically to emotionally. And for me, throughout that process, I was committed to, wherever I could, be very intentional about finding Black women to work with, from mm-hmm. my physicians to my therapist to my coach. And so I was very intentional about searching for amazing Black female career coaches. And so that's what I was just, and you popped up. So I had a list, and it was so interesting because I met with one other woman before you, because it just happened in the schedule where we booked. And she, I think, showed up like maybe 20 minutes late. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, things happen. But there was like no really mention of like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. It just was like straight to the thing. And I was like, this feels off. Yeah, it didn't feel authentic. And it felt like checklist. And I was like, I don't want to just be another client. I want to be able to have the opportunity to work with someone who sees me and takes the time to make the experience personal and personalized. And so again, when we first met and you're like, I'm sorry, I'm on vacation and I probably should have rescheduled, but I'm showing up. And I was like, you do not have to be here. You're like, no, I made the commitment. And I was like, this feels very different in a good way. Mm-hmm. So I felt honored and seen in just those first few minutes of being on that call with you. And so, again, I did the intentional search. I knew exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah.
And then came across your page. Aesthetically, it was visually appealing to me. I liked the wording. What you use on your website seemed very specifically personal and almost values driven. And it wasn't just learn these concepts. That matters to me because I'm a values-driven leader. So then we booked our call and I was like, yes. And I prayed too. I was like, Jesus, listen.
Make it happen, Lori.
Make it happen.
I love that so much because I too am a values-driven coach, which we talked about. A lot of my work is values-driven. And I love having that initial call because it helps you, I think, as a client, understand if you even want to make, because it is an investment, right? Do you want to make this investment in this coach? Is the vibe there? And I always say, because like, we're spending an hour together like regularly. If we don't like each other, it's not going to work.
That's not gonna work. Yeah.
It's not going to work.
It's going to be awkward.
Very awkward. It's like, we want the vibes to be there.
Yes.
It's like, yes, we're working, but the vibes need to be there too.
100%. And they were.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay. So we worked together. And you know, one thing I did, right? I need to pull it up. Right before this call, I went and I looked at the form that you filled when you applied to work.
I don't remember what I said.
I know you don't. I'm going to tell you. because I wanted to just see, why did you initially even come to work with me? Mm-hmm. And really, what were you struggling with? And, you know, one thing you put on there, the first thing you put on there was like the main thing you were struggling with was fear. Just knowing that you had all these skills, but you know, you haven't job searched really before, don't know how to market yourself, don't know how to expand your reach, which you've talked more about. But I want to touch on that piece of fear specifically, because I think that I know a lot of women, fear is a big barrier in their career goals. And I'm curious, did coaching in any ways help you address that fear?
Absolutely. Because I think what happened for me is in just consistently talking through the possibilities versus the what ifs, because I can get stuck in what if this. Mm-hmm. And I think the way you framed it was more of seeing the possibility, and that pierced the balloon of fear, so the air started to come out a little bit, and that was helpful for me. And it was progressive with the assignments that you would give me of, okay, see if you can network with somebody you are already in community with. What would that look like to reach back out to them? And I did that and was able to connect with someone and do some contract work.
Yeah.
I went to a networking event all by myself and it was amazing. I thought a job might come out of it, but it didn't, but it was practice. So I think you kind of taken me along a journey of practice, try this. It's almost like exposure therapy.
Yeah.
Where I had this image of certain things, like, oh my gosh, ooh, the fear of the unknown. Yeah. And exposing myself to those things a little bit each more made it less scary or less mm-hmm. like, ooh, something mm-hmm. that I wanted to avoid.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Thanks for sharing that. So I'm hearing that for you, it was when we think of that fear, you were getting the opportunity to see the thing you were afraid of in a different light and,
yes.
and dip a toe in the water. Okay, maybe it's not as scary as I think it is. Let yes. me try this thing. And as you kept doing it, the fear kept getting smaller and smaller.
It did. It mm-hmm. absolutely did. And I think I might have been in a unique situation where I did have to leave my job due to the mm-hmm. harm. So it was a quick exit more than I would ever plan for.
Yeah.
So with my back kind of being up against the wall, I was like, all right, I have to work through the fear. I have to show up courageous. Mm-hmm. And even though I may have had some feelings of like, being able to accept those feelings, move forward, go do the thing, and release myself from the expectation of success of an engagement. Mm-hmm. So if coming out of like that networking event, there was not a job connection offer, to not name that as failure.
Yeah.
But it's just, this was an experience. This was learning.
Mm-hmm.
So that also helped me as well.
Yeah, love that. Okay, now let's get technical because, yeah, like you said, you did end up having to leave your job while you were in the middle, which meant there was that pressure of, okay, girl, like the savings only going to stretch so far. I need to be in a job. Like, we're not playing around.
No.
And you had specific salary requirements too, right? It wasn't yes. just a job. It's a job that was earning you a specific amount because you didn't want to go backwards in salary.
No.
So talk to me, because you also said earlier you hadn't stretched those job search muscles in a while.
No.
So talk to me about reawakening those muscles in coaching and how coaching helped you through just the technical parts of the job search process.
Absolutely. Genuinely, from resume writing to having a resume that had the right language and aesthetically looked the way that it needed to look to pop, either from a, you know, computer generated whatever platform or to an actual human, that was extremely helpful for me, wording things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I think also because one of the things I was nervous about was, what is transferable?
Yeah.
Because I had a lot of my work experience was in nonprofit space, mm-hmm. faith-based space. Even though I had executive level leadership, I was not sure how that might translate or transfer
mm-hmm.
outside of those industries. And then I think also, again, it was a consistency of try these new things, talk to these people. This is the art. And I think you even said something like, it won't always feel like at the start that these things are working, but they are. Like, I am not a big social media person. And so LinkedIn, I was like, no, I need to have some type of presence. And so I'm just like, I may have had like 50 connections on LinkedIn. So I was like, I just don't use. And I think now I'm getting closer to 500.
Look at you.
Yes. And so that reminder of, okay, still be yourself, but show up at least in these certain spaces, because this is what you have to do mm-hmm. to be seen. This is what you have to do. It's part of the work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's part of the process. And so I think those technical and practical exercises helped me to be able to not sit in fear, because I do remember there was a point where I was like, oh, Tega, we're coming up on that savings, not looking abundant. And there was a job, not offer, but there was a job presented to me to apply for at a university. And mm-hmm. the salary was like, it was maybe
not it.
60% less than what I, yes.
Not what we were looking for.
Talk about backwards, not at all. And I was like, Sega, ow. And you were still so kind of, okay, you can still apply for that. We can look at other ways if you go that route, if you choose to. So what I've so appreciated about you is you would share your wisdom and then you would let me make the decision. And you would also come alongside me as I navigated it. And what was helpful, though, is you also helped me to see, like, don't limit yourself. Is that what you really want? what is your motivation behind even choosing that? Mm-hmm. And there was a little fear there.
Yep.
And I was like, can I make the salary that I was making? Like, oh, Lord, this economy. And so you helped me to be like, go from whiplash to like focus, mm-hmm. focus, mm-hmm. which I really needed.
Yeah. And you said two different things that I want to touch on. The first one was that transferable skills piece. Because I remember you being like,
gosh,
I don't think I could work in corporate. I've only worked in nonprofit. And I was like, it's the same thing, sis.
You said that.
You have the skills.
Which was so helpful. I was like, really, Tina? You were like, yes.
I'm like, you've been a leader. You've just been leading in a different space, but you do have the skills. I think that's so important because I think of women trying to advance in their career and go to the next level. Sometimes there is that limit of this is what I've done, whether it's the space or the title, this is all I've done. And so then the fear of, can I go somewhere else, go to a higher level, go to a different space? And I'm like, you have the skills. The skills are the skills. And I think I would say to you, we just need to market it the right way, but the skills are the skills.
Yes. You kept saying that to me. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, okay. Because I think there was also that fear piece again of, I'm in my 40s. Like, maybe if I was transitioning in my 20s or 30s, a company would be like, oh, yeah. But there was that fear of, oh, my gosh, this is the history of my career path. Mm-hmm. And for you to be like, and? Oh, okay. I needed that energy. Like, what
and
what? Right. Like, I don't why. Let's move forward. So that was so helpful. Similar to like a physical trainer, like when you're training and you're like, I don't think I could do this last rep. Yes, you can. And so that's kind of what our sessions allowed me to do, was push through some of those beliefs, because we tackled some of those core beliefs that I had wrestled with.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think I would have on my own. What I think would have happened is I would have applied to these jobs, probably through LinkedIn, heard all the no's, and would have been like, see, this is why I need to pivot back to nonprofit, and I'll figure out a way to work my way back to where I was, versus you being like, no, 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 no. What do you want? Let's go after that. What do you feel like you deserve? Let's go after that. And so I was like, okay, okay. It just was, you kept like GPS rerouting me when I would get off track.
Make a right here.
Yeah.
Back on the highway.
Yes.
And you know what? Speaking of marketing, one of like when I think of the places where we market you, right? It's the resume, networking, and then interviews. I think like to me, those are like the three main points. And I think that resume one is one where a lot of times women will just list all the things they've done without actually marketing themselves. And I remember you sending me your resume for review, and I was like, Courtney, you did not use the template I sent you, did you?
Yes and no. I said, this is it. And then you was like, girl, why did you just? I was like, yeah, I did mess that up.
Like, this is not it. This is not what I told you to do. But talk to me about, because I also think that when you have a well-crafted resume that really markets your skill, I've always said, I think it's really powerful because it shows you objectively on paper what you have done, what you are capable of, what you can achieve. And so what was that like for you to see yourself marketed on your resume for a nonprofit role, right? Like for a corporate role, for a different space? What was that like for you?
It was amazing because, again, my non-muscle use of this resume writing skill was what is visually maybe, if not appealing, but like my pop. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was like, I'll take it, but I had to send him a resume right away. He was like, girl, that's fine, but what you're not going to do is continue to send anybody that resume.
I think I said, like, don't tell him I'm your coach if he uses this.
Yeah, just
like,
girl,
I'm like, I'm not your coach if you send this resume.
I was like, oh, okay. That was one of my favorite moments. And so when I pulled up the templates, it was like, oh, because there were so many to choose from. And it allowed me, again, to your point, to see how I could tell a story. a more compelling story about my work and not just this standard, here are the dates, but to go by bucketed areas of expertise. I never thought to format my resume that way. I only knew a mostly standard version of how to do that. So it really helped me to feel confident, more confident in what I was presenting. And it was, for me, more accurate in terms of the flow and the format. And I felt better submitting. Every time I submitted, I was like, well, if I don't hear back, I don't know what else I could have done, because what you see is what it is. So we're either going to match or we're not.
Yeah. You know, talk about that piece real quick, because I think that's another part of job searching that's hard, right? The rejections are definitely going to come. You had a couple. And I'm wondering what just navigating that was like for you, and how coaching maybe shaped how you navigated rejection in the process. Yeah. How did you stay resilient to eventually land a job that you now love?
Yes, I think a lot of that was you kind of coaching me through not just the technical piece, but the mindset piece, and really continuing to kind of like holding up a mirror and being like, remember your values.
Yeah.
Let's go back to this. You won't get every job offer. Like, there will be rejections and even just acceptance around that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I remember that you constantly said that was so helpful is, what is for you is for you, what is not is not. And I was like, oh, you're right. So instead of seeing that rejection, it's like, oh my gosh, why did they, what is it about me that, it's like, that wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so phrases like that felt like points of anchoring for me to turn back to when, if I was on my own and not in a session, again, the whiplash, the being tossed to and fro in the water, I could be like, oh, what is for me is for me. What is not is not.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, so then the next part of marketing is interviewing. So you did land a couple of interviews in this process. I remember the one you're in now. I remember I was looking at that document. Everything is laid out. It was like three different steps to the interview.
Like 9 hours. You were like, oh my gosh.
Yes. How did coaching help you navigate, first of all, interviewing in general? But again, you were interviewing at a higher level where you're doing, you know, like role plays, and you're having to do presentations and create a scenario. How did coaching and the resources, the scripts, how did that help you navigate all of that?
It was so helpful to get out of my own head, to just have like a playbook. Was so helpful, because I think sometimes I can overprepare and I just have all the things and looking at all the things, and it just focused me and made everything more accessible. And it just helped me to feel more confident.
Yeah.
And so I remember, and also you also saying like, being able to talk through, okay, Tegan, they want me to do these role plays. And then you're like, okay, send me, if you have anything, send me what they sent you. Mm-hmm. And you were like, okay, yeah, this is a lot. But what they're assessing is not necessarily what you come up with, but how you are going to handle a high stress situation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And just coaching me through, I remember looking at the videos as well. And I think on one of them, you talked about like, it was okay to ask questions in advance. And I did that. They presented me with one of the scenarios, and I was like, I can't even role play this. I am missing information. I need answers to X, Y, and Z. And I was like, I'm going to just send an email.
Uh-huh.
And I asked questions because he said I could. And when I got the job, he said one of the things that stood out is you ask questions beforehand. I was like, oh, and this answered that additional clarity, which made you show up more prepared than maybe some of the other candidates. I was like, ah.
It worked.
So I love that, because what you taught me through your resources and working with you is the interview happens before you're in the room or on the, you know, camera if it's virtual.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to practice and all those things, I felt as confident as I could feel with a 9-hour interview. But I felt very confident. And during one of the sessions, so the person who is now my boss would come back after each whatever. He'd be like, okay, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but you're doing a really good job. But I'm not supposed to say that. But I was like, okay.
Thank you for listening to this episode. This episode is brought to you by Next Level Career, my private one-on-one coaching partnership for high-achieving professional women who are ready to step into higher paying, higher impact roles. Whether you're trying to land your next leadership role, get promoted, thrive in your current next level role, or finally get paid a salary that matches all your effort and impact, working with me one-on-one is the best way to serve you. When we work together in NLC, I'll teach you how to position yourself strategically, communicate your value with confidence, and advance in your career without burnout or compromising who you are. You can visit privatecareercoaching.com to learn more and apply for one of my available one-on-one coaching spots. Again, that URL is privatecareercoaching.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
Hey, you know what? That is the beauty. It's something I tell people. It's like the interview, that is the game-changing moment. And moments like that of this, I'm not supposed to tell you, but it's like literally if you are acing the interview, they know in the interview that they want to hire you. The vibe is there, the way you show up, your confidence, the way you're answering. Like, you can know before you leave a job. Like, you know, sometimes when you interview and you're like, I think I did okay. But then there's the, no, I killed that. And if I don't get the job, something's wrong. Like, if I don't get an offer, that was not me because I killed that.
Yes. I love that.
and that's where prep comes in. And like you said, being able to have playbooks, scripts like I give you in the program, because sometimes those questions can throw you off. It's like, what do I say? How do I answer? And so I like to make it easy for you to say, okay, no, just go in. Here's what they're asking for. Here's what you need to say so that you don't go in flustered because a question just throws you off because you weren't prepared. You didn't have your stories lined up.
Yes, that part. And I love that you broke it down by levels. Like the first interview is mostly this is what you want to focus on. If you get a second interview, that was so helpful because I think I would have gone in with a hodgepodge of like, I got to know all the things. Mm-hmm. So being able to dissect that was so helpful for me.
Yeah. Love that. Love that. So obviously we're here because you got the offer. And you know, so now let's take a moment and just think about how you talked about, and as you said, I had forgotten until you said it, where there was a moment where you were going to apply for that academic job that the salary was way lower. And one thing about, especially when I think of when I'm working with women of color, it's like, you know, we're trying to build retirement funds. We're trying to build generational wealth. We're trying to support ourselves. So if you come in and you tell me you're trying to make X amount of dollars, I will die on that hill. You are making X amount of dollars. We're not going back. If we go back, I'm not your coach. I don't play that. But so think back to you. And like you said, but I'm not going to, especially because I knew your situation, it was different. You weren't actively working. You didn't have money coming in. So I knew where that desire to apply for that is like you were getting into what I call your desperate energy a little bit. Right?
That's a great way to put it. 100%.
And I was trying to get you to the abundant energy, but it's like, okay, I understand. I might do the same if I'm in that situation. But I want you to just compare and contrast now. Think about what you would have, like, where would you have been if you're taking that pay cut versus now you increase your salary by how much?
I increased it by 10,000.
Okay. Where would you have been if you had gone 60% backward versus this 10K increase?
Girl, I probably would have been like, what did I do? Because the other thing is the level of work that they were asking for did not match that salary at all. So I probably would have been like, oh, no. So it would have probably really hit me emotionally, mentally. Mm. I think there would have been a lot of second guessing. Realizing I missed opportunity, realizing I settled for less.
Yeah.
And that's not a good feeling.
At
so
all.
I just felt like, okay, what could this moment be teaching me? Mm-hmm. And it was either I sink or I learn how to swim and trust. And you kept pushing me to the trust side, the lean in, trust, wait for the right thing. It will come. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to hear that, especially because I was in the desperate energy.
Yeah,
I think I needed to hear it will come. It will come. It will come. Mm-hmm. And so it came and I was like, oh my gosh, to the point where you were like, okay, let's set some walkaway numbers. Here's the minimum. Here's what you will accept. Here's absolutely not. Here is a no-brainer. Yes, I will sign today. And so that was helpful having those framings. And even though my salary wasn't at the walkaway number, mm-hmm. I was able to kind of think through, okay, what does this mean? And I was able to negotiate. And that was extremely helpful. And then God brought things full circle because additional income came my way through consulting. That was from networking with one of the women I hadn't talked to in forever. And then I got to teach two courses. And so I didn't have to be held to a contract with that.
God, you didn't tell me that. I just knew. I know.
Oh, my goodness. So I got to teach two courses as an adjunct professor, which I know the pay is not significant, but when you add up all
the
numbers,
wanted to do.
I did because I love teaching.
Yes.
And I got to teach doc students and
oh my gosh.
It was amazing. It felt like God was like, I got you. Here you go. Here you go. So yes, that happened. And when you add up all of the little things or whatever, it's close to what I was asking for my walk away. So it felt like God just, one of the things I can't remember if I told you this, one of the things I heard during one of my low moments over the summer was, it was one day I was like, God, I need you to show up like a burning bush. Like I need something tangible. And I just felt like I heard the Lord say, I'm going to get you by until I get you through. And I felt like he was doing that. And then I'm on the other side. He got me through.
I literally have tingles. I think I can feel the goosebumps going up by that. Because, okay, so you bring up something that I remember I had a woman ask me once. People have often asked, you know, because I talk about my faith, right? And especially when I think of this next level career, while I work with anybody, I really want to work with Christian women or really help Christian women step into that leadership, that impact. And women have often asked, well, you talk about your faith. What does that look like in coaching? And sometimes it feels hard to explain. Like, I know, okay, I'll drop Bible verses here and there, might pray, but like, talk to it from a client lens of what was it like for you to work specifically with a Christian coach? What stood out to you? What do you remember?
I mean, it was organic and natural.
Mm.
And I value that. And it just felt like a part of you as it is a part of me. It didn't feel like we had to like, okay, now let's open up the word here. Which I'm not saying that's bad.
I ain't doing Bible studies.
Right.
Like, you need a job.
Right. That part. And that was so amazing to me because that was the real part. It's like, you know, we could be Christians on Sunday, but what is that Monday through Saturday?
Mm.
And I felt like you just in your countenance, you would just in your language, it was so natural. You would be like, what is God saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you asked him? Your homework is ask God what his dreams are for you. And I was like, oh, okay. So things like that, like you would invite me into deeper reflection with the Lord.
Mm.
You would also be transparent with some of your story and your faith and how that was incorporated into your journey. And that was very helpful for me.
Mm-hmm.
And just reminding me little things again, like what is for you is for you. What is not is not. God is not going to lead you astray. He has a plan. Those affirmations, those droplets, to me felt like bits of nourishing along the way that were beautifully paired with the technical equipping.
Yeah. And I think that is, now that you're talking about that, I think that is so necessary because job searching can be stressful.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it, like the materials, the rejection, the networking, all the things you have to do. And as you're saying that, I love the way you put that. The nourishing is you need someone to keep pouring back into you. Yes. Otherwise, all the things you're pouring into your job search will just leave you drained. And, you know, I forgot when you said, ask the Lord what his dreams are for you. I forgot I told you to do that.
Yes.
Like, I'm just a vessel. What is God like? You got to go back to him. What does he want you to do? Like, you're just here with some strategy. You need to go talk to the Holy Spirit, girl.
I was like, okay.
Go back to the source.
Which was so helpful to invite God into that process.
Yes. A lot of women don't. I've noticed in career in general, but even the job search, it's like, we don't think God cares about this. And I'm like, this is where you spend most of your waking hours. Why would he not care?
Yes. Yes. 100%. And you would kind of remind me, like, the Lord made you a certain way on purpose. So that skill set that he gave you is meant to be used in certain spaces and places.
Yeah.
So pray into that.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's good. Wonderful. Yeah.
Okay. So now talk to us about life on the other side. Because again, a lot of the women who want to advance in their career, it's yes, there's the more money and there's this desire to have more impact, whether it's impact in the organization, impact it globally, to just feel like they're doing meaningful work at a higher level and getting paid well for it, not being burnt out, not being stressed, not being drained. So what is it like for you now that you're in this job with the salary increase? Talk to us about this life. What does it look like?
My goodness. Jesus is amazing. So one of the things that I had to keep reminding myself of, I was like, okay, I'm not going to say the grass is going to be greener. I said the grass is going to be different and I'm ready for different grass because I didn't want to set these lofty like honeymoon. It's going to be because, you know, you will have days. So having that the grass is going to be different was very helpful for me. There are some things that I knew I had to do before going into my new role was be vocal about and anchored in my values. And so even in my interview, I can't remember the question, but I had an opportunity to share. I'm a values-driven leader. Two of my top values are integrity and authenticity. If I can't be authentic in a space, it's probably not going to be the space for me for long. And I value integrity in my leaders. And so that was something that my leaders remembered. And so every now and then they're like, are you feeling like you can be authentically yourself? I'm like, thank you for checking in. You're just like, I know your values are very important. And I'm like, that's great. I let them know who I was. Because what you also told me was you're also interviewing them.
Yes.
And so I needed them to know this is who you're getting. And so being on the other side, feeling like in a corporate space, I am able to be fully myself and in a space I never saw myself in, insurance and finance.
What industry? I remember when you were like deciding between two offers. Yes. You're like, I've never worked in finance. I'm like, girl, it's about the job, not the finance. You have the skills. Yes.
Girl, look at that job. I'm like, you're right, girl. And it could not have been a better fit. So I'm in the L&D Learning and Development Department. I'm a senior learning consultant. And I remember thinking about like the transition of coming from executive leadership, like being one of the four people leading the vision and steering the direction of the organization, to not being in that role, but still having an opportunity to impact and influence. And it feels good. Quite honestly, for me personally, it feels good to be able to do my work. Because when you're at that level, sometimes you're doing, especially in the nonprofit, 55 jobs. You have all these direct reports. And one of the VPs in my department, she said, I'm just curious. I know you came from a high level of leadership. Is this okay? I said, absolutely. It is absolutely okay. I love it. I get to do my job. And that has felt so freeing. I have felt like I could be innovative. I feel like I have the brain space to show up, not just as myself, but with my full skill set to be able to add, I always say, my fingerprint to the blueprint. And that feels really, really good. And I have honestly felt like there are days, Tega, when I get off work and I'm like, I don't feel stressed. I'm not used to this. What do I do? What I like?
Life is too chill. What am I supposed to
do? I was like, what is happening? But I have shown up in a way that has allowed me to lean into that freedom. Like one of the simple things is on our phones, we don't have email automatically set up. And so you have to go through all these like different levels of authentication. And so my boss was like, do you want to have email on your phone? He said, I don't. And he said, I won't tell my boss this, but when is there ever a learning emergency? I said, yes, thank you. LD. I said, say less. I do not want my email on my phone. So I don't have it on my phone. No, if it's not a requirement, boop. And some people do. I don't. That mm-hmm. has been so freeing. And I know everybody can't do that, but there are little things that I've found mm-hmm. that have been very helpful to give me a disconnect. Mm-hmm. One thing for me working at in a corporate space, and I will speak for myself and use I statements, I found a nonprofit, it was like meshed. My work would follow me home. There was so much that we were doing that I cared deeply about, and there was very little disconnect. So I'm able to disconnect, let work be work, and then pour myself into my passions, into areas that matter to me in a different way. That feels so freeing.
Wow. There's two words you said that really resonated with me that stood out: impact and influence. And like, if I could summarize, like most of the women who come to work with me one-on-one, the thing they're looking for, it is impact and influence. And I'm curious, now that you're doing work where you feel like you have impact and influence, what is that doing for you just as a person, as a professional?
It makes me feel a couple things. I feel very valued. First, vertically, I feel like I feel valued by the Lord to be able to do this work in this way. And I feel valued as a peer and in the organization from people as I am putting forth the work that I'm doing. One thing that I said I will be committed to is because I've been in environments where I've given my all and I value excellence. But I said, I will no longer give an organization my all, but I will give my best.
Yeah.
And my best is good, really good. And so if I can show up and do that and not strive and not feel like I have to, like, are you seeing this? Let me just do good work. Let me be committed and let me stand out. And in those natural ways, and that honestly is what has been happening, is I have goals, to be clear. I'm not striving from a place of lack. I'm operating from a place of, this is my place and space. I was sent here. I'm supposed to be here. God will elevate and God will open the doors. And that has happened. Like, the little things, they're like, oh, do you want to present at this ERG? And I was like, oh, yes. So I put together this whole thing, presented, and my boss was there, his boss, another VP of the department, and they were like, that was really good. And I was like, oh. And
like, I have an old ED. Like, your girl is trained in this.
Girl, that's what I do.
Check my receipts.
That part. And I have allowed myself to receive. Whereas before I'd be like, oh no. And I'm like, thank you. I worked really hard on that. It is great to be able to, you know, lean into my skill set. I got excited. And one of the VPs was like, you were in your sweet spot. Like, I saw something. And so I've been pulled into meetings that maybe I would not have normally be pulled into. And our people are like, yeah, we want you to work on this senior level project. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, Jesus, just be you and do good work and be excellent. Yeah.
And you know, there's something when you said valued vertically, like just valued by the Lord. You know, that's something that I always try to articulate, but I never know if I can articulate it well, where I just know and believe, because I've experienced this, like when you're doing work that allows you to operate in your skill sets, have impact, have influence, there's something that it does for your work with the Lord, because you feel like you're doing, like, it's not that it's your purpose, because our purpose is to glorify God, but it's like you feel like you're not wasting what he has given you. Like, you're doing something on earth, and it just makes you feel closer to him, seen by him.
Yes, I agree. Because it feels like you're in alignment. Like, all the things that he deposited in you were for, not to sound cliche, such a time as this. For real. It was like, okay, Lord. I mean, I was literally like, oh my gosh. I was having a moment where I was thinking back to my journey from college to graduate school to getting my doctorate, just like, everything you put in me has prepared me for this moment. And not that this is the be all end all, because our God is abundant, but thank you, Lord, that I have the opportunity to live in alignment with how you built me in a place that had a Courtney-sized hole, that it was missing me as a piece to the puzzle. And that's my encouragement to women is you, there's a whole of you at an organization. They're missing you. And to your point, wait to be placed because you are worth the wait.
Yeah. Ah, that's so beautiful. Oh my gosh. Okay. So here's the last question I have for the woman that's listening to this, right? She's in her job. She wants to do impactful work, high level work. She wants to get paid well. She has a sense that she needs coaching, but part of her is like, is this going to work for me? Is it worth the investment? Do I really need this? Can I do it myself? Because she's high achieving. Yeah, so she's just on the fence. She's not sure if she should invest in one-on-one coaching. What would you say to that woman?
You are worth the investment. And yes, you can do some of it on your own because you are high achieving. You shouldn't have to. You weren't meant to. And you're missing out on the fuller piece of that puzzle if you are doing that on your own. And why not? Like, why make it harder? To me, it's working smarter, not harder, to have someone to be able to help you navigate through certain things and see things in a different way, hold the mirror up, tell you to do, you know, even my goodness, when you just had the layout of schedule on your schedule, like block it off. This amount of time for LinkedIn, this amount of time for networking, this amount of time for interviewing, because you will be tapped out. Even that alone, because I was like one day all day doing all the things. You're like, no. So just simple things like that. Someone who has gone before you, someone who is considered an expert, let them be an expert that helps you because you don't have to do it all on your own. And it's so worth it. I cannot speak highly enough about you in particular, working with you in particular. I tell so many people about it because I genuinely believe that it was a God-ordained connection. I do not think I would be in this role without God inviting you into his plans to help me along this journey.
Oh my gosh, that almost made me cry. Like, I'm literally trying not to cry because...
It's true, Tega.
And I'm saying that because one of my, like, I'm always just like, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. You know, it's always like, if this is not it, let me know. And so just to hear another woman of God feel like the Lord put me in your life to do, because I love this work. I really do. I'm always like,
I love it.
Oh, like, Lord, if it's something else, I'll take it. But I really like this one. Like, I love this one. Let's make this work.
Yes. And you are good at it.
Oh, thank you. And so to hear you say that is a pleasure. But what stood out that I'm going to reiterate is that work smarter, not harder.
Yes.
Especially when I think of us as Black women, we are so used to the superwoman trope and doing all the things and being all the capable. But it's like, girl, sis, you don't have to be. You don't have to be. Let somebody else help you get there faster. Let somebody else help you get there faster and easier.
And easier. Yes. And come out on the other side with air in your lungs and not adding battery.
Yes. You know, and I thought I was wrapping up, but I just remembered a moment. There was one time, I mean, this is back when I was in Nigeria in the summer, and we had a coaching session, and you were like, I'm actually enjoying this process. Like, I remember you said, I'm actually enjoying job searching. And I was like, that's the point.
Yes. It was so helpful. It went from like, put my hair out to like, ooh, Tega, look, I did this. It became fun.
Oh, yeah. See, it's like you can actually have fun on this journey.
You absolutely can. And having someone who, again, is an expert and has that foresight, the tool bag, all the things. Some of it, just like working out, there are some days you're like, okay, this is, I gotta lift these weights. But then you realize, oh, I got a new muscle. Wait a minute. Okay, I got some endurance here. Hold on.
And so check me out.
Right? Because listen, I will get off that treadmill by myself. But if my trainer is like, you got 5 more minutes, I'm like, okay. You need somebody who's gonna push you, value you, and help you sometimes see what you can't see so that you can get to that place that God has for you. And you 100% did that for me.
Well, Courtney, thank you so much for your time. It was just a pleasure catching up with you, hearing your story, seeing you on the other end, 4 months into the job, still loving it. I love it so much for you. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Tega.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If Courtney's story hit home for you, if you are in a role that no longer fits, you're feeling unsure about how to make your next move, how to position yourself for the promotion, or you're just doubting whether your skills will transfer to a higher level role, then this is
your invitation. When we work together one-on-one in my coaching partnership, Next Level Career, I help women just like you land higher paying, higher impact roles that they actually love with faith and confidence. You don't have to keep spinning your wheels or trying to figure out how to advance in your career alone. You can visit privatecareercoaching.com. That link is also going to be in the description of this episode below to book a free sales call with me. And on this call, I'll break down the three specific ways that I will help you advance into your higher level role in the next 6 months. Again, that URL is privatecareercoaching.com, where you can learn all about NLC and book your free sales call. Let's talk about where you are in your career right now, where you want to go, and how we can get you there together.